You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us on today's edition of The Weekend is Jamie Flores. Jamie is the Program and Education Director for the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Study Center. Jamie, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the Holocaust Museum and Study Center. I know it's been around for a while, but you're always doing new things, and perhaps people may not know about it. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about, you know, its history, how it started, et cetera.
Absolutely. Well, we were started by a Holocaust survivor, Henry Kellen. Actually, in 1984, he started it as a one-room display, primarily of the artifacts he owned, books and photographs. It eventually grew into a freestanding museum as part of the Jewish Community Center in 1996. And tragically, that building burned down in 2001. But they opened our current facility in 2008, which is downtown in the museum district.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier, and I did as well, when the title that it's a museum and study center. Tell us a little bit about the study center part.
Well, we have a library that has thousands of titles related to the Holocaust, as well as other genocide, Jewish history. And we really have encourage people to come and study there to learn more about the Holocaust. One of our primary missions is to educate. So we try to utilize every tool that we have to educate the community about the Holocaust.
And when we talk about education, we think about students and young people, and you have something special going on right now with the children.
Yes, we do. We just opened a new exhibit called Remember Me, Children of the Holocaust. It is an exhibit entirely about children and for children. It's an exhibit that we created completely in-house, the first time we've done that, actually. And the mission of this exhibit is to educate our young people about the lessons of the Holocaust without traumatizing them. So we try to do it in a very age-sensitive way. It's a very hands-on, interactive exhibit as well. And our real mission with the exhibit is to also empower children. So as they leave the museum, they are not feeling overwhelmed or upset. They're actually leaving with a mission to become an upstander in the community, to stand up for what's right, to stand up to bullies. That's really what the point of the exhibit is.
And what age group are we talking about?
Really as young as 6 to 7 years old. And all the way up. Our main museum galleries are really geared more toward middle school, high school, and above. So this exhibit is for those younger kids to learn about the Holocaust through the eyes of children who were their age.
When you mentioned that this is an in-house exhibit that you all put together, the question that some of our listeners may have is, were any children involved locally, or perhaps their parents, grandparents of mementos that perhaps they had of children of the Holocaust?
Excellent question. We did actually use many local children to do some of our voiceovers. We used survivor testimonies and biographies to actually tell the story. And we asked some of our young kids who came through our summer camp to actually be the voices of those children. So those who are going through the exhibit will be able to click on a picture on an iPad and be able to hear that child tell the story. So we try to really use some of our local connections, some of our El Paso Holocaust Museum community to tell that story.
If you wouldn't mind kind of walking us through the exhibit.
Absolutely. It's a chronological take on the Holocaust. So it starts with a pre-war display, which means it's a series of pictures that are of children who did survive. And there are different biographies that go along with those pictures. So, and then we ask in that part of it, we ask children to try to find a picture that looks like them and their family, because this display is just about normal, typical life before the Holocaust happened. And so it's a very, very relatable exhibit because they can see how they were not that different than children are today. So that's how we introduce it, is to say, they were not any different than children are today. So we show that through our picture wall.
One of the visits that Norma Martinez, the producer, and I went to the National Holocaust Museum in D.C. Several years ago, and they had an exhibit called Daniel's Room. And I guess it was kind of trying to show children what it was like. And a lot of times when people think of the Holocaust and children, the name that comes immediately to mind is
Anne Frank.
Mm-hmm. Anne Frank.
Anne Frank, yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. And going to the National Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. does have that amazing exhibit called Daniel's Story. And it does – it shows the Holocaust through the lens of a child, through his eyes. And that was part of our inspiration, actually. Many museums do not touch on this topic for young children. So that was a lot of our inspiration, is that kids want to know. They're coming to our museum anyway, so let's try to tell the story in a way they can understand. Many of them will go on to read Anne Frank. Usually that's taught in middle school. So if they come into that class and read that book with some background knowledge, maybe they'll maybe it will give them more incentive to learn more about the Holocaust, and hopefully will give them more context as they read Anne Frank's diary.
And, of course, as we're doing this interview, not too long ago, we lost one of the literary giants and survivors, Mr. Wiesel.
Yes.
Wiesel, and his book, Night, even as short, concise as it is, it's just packed with just some incredible things that he saw as a child, and the fact that he was able to write this. And from what I understand, it took him a while before he actually put these words on paper.
Yes, absolutely. He survived as a very young man. He was 16 years old when he was liberated. So it took a while for him to be able to actually publish this book. And when Night was first published, it was to a very small audience. It wasn't widely read for many years, actually, until it was translated into other languages. And now it's award-winning and read in nearly every high school in the country.
We're visiting with Jamie Flores. Jamie is the Program and Education Director at the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Study Center. And we're talking about a program, actually an exhibit that's currently on display, and I think it's on till October 9th?
Yes.
And that is Remember Me, Children of the Holocaust. Now, you mentioned about the rest of the exhibit as well. And some people might say, well, you know, I'd like to go and see this exhibit with my children. But what about the rest of the museum? If you wouldn't mind sharing with us what we have there.
Absolutely. So our permanent galleries, they are, we do recommend those for 12 years old and above. There is some graphic content in those galleries, especially as we get into the really difficult parts of that history. But our museum is a education facility. So we tell the story chronologically. We start with pre-war. We go into the rise of Nazism, then what happens after to the Jewish populations, not only in Germany, but all over Europe, the ghettos, the concentration camps, those who became rescuers, those who became resistance fighters, and then we end with liberation. So we try to tell each perspective of those who endured the Holocaust, those who perpetrated the Holocaust, and those who became bystanders or rescuers. We use artifacts, photographs, videos to tell that story. And our Remember Me, Children of the Holocaust exhibit is almost a smaller version of that museum, told through children and told in a less graphic way. We barely touch on things like the concentration camps and the ghettos, but we do show that in a way that a child could understand. But we primarily focus on a child's experience as they were put into hiding or put on transports to leave to other countries. And the themes are about separation from family, loneliness, fear, things that a child, any child, can relate to.
You mentioned Mr. Keller earlier, and there are quite a few survivors here in El Paso as well as liberators. Is that correct?
Yes. We at one time had a very large group of survivors here in El Paso. Now we are a much smaller number due to their age, and we are probably at around less than 10 survivors now, liberators the same. Many of the liberators never really came out to tell their story. So there are a small number of those and an even smaller number that tell their story.
Tell us a little bit about, because putting something like this together is not cheap, not free. And a lot of times you all depend on volunteers and fundraising. And you have something coming up tomorrow.
Yes, we do. We have our annual fundraiser called the Tour to Tolerance. This is our 11th year of doing this event, actually, and it is a terrific community event. It is a 50K and 100K bike ride and a 5K run or walk or fun walk. We have it out at Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino. So the route goes through New Mexico, and it is a beautiful route, very, very well received, actually. We are looking at between 500 and 600 participants. It's the whole purpose of it is to raise awareness of the museum and our mission and to really reach out to the community that may not even know that we are here.
Is this the only fundraiser that you have, or do you have others throughout the year?
We have others throughout the year. Our other main fundraiser is a tasting event that will be October 22nd. This year, our theme is bourbon and bites. We will have a flight of bourbon tastings poured by some of our local celebrities. We have local food trucks that provide the bites of the event. We have a live band called Black Tie. So there is dancing, there's a silent auction, there's lots of different games, and it's all done in our parking lot as a way to bring people to the museum. But it's really a celebration of the museum here and what we do.
As far as the Tour de Tolerance, which takes place tomorrow, what time do people need to be at the casino? And obviously they need to pre-register.
Yes. Today's our last day to register, actually. There's the registration and packet pickup is happening right now at El Paso Holocaust Museum at 715 North Oregon. So if anyone has not registered yet, we'd love to get some more participants out there. We do not have registration the day of the event, so we will not have that tomorrow. And then each event has a different starting time. So our first, the 100K bike ride starts at 7. The 5K starts at 7:45, and the 50K starts at 8:30.
Another way, I'm sure that perhaps you bring in some revenue, is you know, people like when they go to museums, they like to buy books, other gifts for others to share. You have a gift shop, I assume?
Yes, we do. Yes, we have a bookstore and a gift shop that sells a myriad of different things, primarily, of course, books and films about the Holocaust, but then other mementos as well.
And what are the hours of the museum?
We're open Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 4, and then Saturday and Sunday from 1 to 5.
And tell us about the museum itself as far as it's staffed, I know, but I'm sure, as you mentioned earlier, that a lot of volunteers help out in doing other things like perhaps tours or mm-hmm. anything like that?
Absolutely. We have we actually have a very small staff, so we depend very much on our volunteers who give tours. We call them docents. They are the ones who give the tours to walk-in visitors, to scheduled groups, lots of schools that come in. And then we have other volunteers who man our bookstore and run our front desk and just help us in every way possible. And our big events like the Tour de Tolerance and Bourbon and Bites wouldn't be possible without the volunteers that we have.
As program and education director at the Museum and Study Center, do you have perhaps programs that go on the road to the schools, or is everything done there?
Well, we do a little bit of everything, actually. We do send out speakers from the museum to talk to schools, especially those who are not able to come to the museum because of funding or whatever it might be. So we do send things out to the school. A lot of our volunteers take care of that, or some of the staff will go out to the schools. We send out curriculum trunks as well. And then we try to do a lot of teacher trainings. We have an educators conference in November. So we try to give the education to our teachers because they're the ones who are going to teach the students. They are the ones who have that really big, important job. So we try to give them the resources as well.
You mentioned education earlier and the fact that, you know, of course, this is exhibit for the children, Remember Me, Children of the Holocaust. There are still some people who refuse to believe it and say that this never happened. And I'm sure that through social media and Facebook and other things like that, you're able to reach out more to people and to show them stories, examples. You know, as you mentioned, speakers, liberators, one of our great professors here, Anthony Kruszewski, who has done so much. And so how much of a challenge is that?
Oh, it's actually very challenging, and is becoming more challenging as more and more of our survivors and liberators are passing away. They, as the last witnesses to what happened, they play such a vital role in sharing that history and educating. So it becomes our job to carry that legacy forward. And that is, it is a challenge as we get further and further removed from the history to still show people how relevant and how important it is because there are people who deny the Holocaust happened. They don't understand the magnitude of that. So our mission really is to show not only that it was an important and pivotal time in history, but it's still so relevant today because of the lessons it teaches us about intolerance and prejudice and bullying at a smaller level. So it just becomes more and more important the farther we get from the history, actually, to make sure people don't forget or trivialize it as just something that happened in history.
You mentioned earlier when we were discussing the children exhibit that it teaches them about tolerance and bullying. And that is something that, you know, our children are facing more and more every day, you know, because they're short, because they're overweight, because they wear glasses, whatever, because they're different. They'll be the targets of a bully or somebody else.
Absolutely. That's such a difficult thing that our young people face and are facing even younger and younger. And one of the main points about our exhibit is we want them to see that bullying and intolerance, those things are not okay, but they can make a difference. They can stand up for what's right. They can stand up to a bully. At the end of the exhibit, we ask them to make a pledge of what they can do to make the world better, to make even their piece of the world better. We use a quote by Anne Frank that talks about it is never too late to improve the world. And she wrote that quote while she was in hiding from the Nazis, fearing for her life, but she still believed that there was something that she could do. There was still something that a young person could do. And that's what we really believe so strongly at the museum, and that's what we want to show with not just this exhibit, but with everything that we do.
Do you have samples, perhaps, of letters from children, children who were survivors of the Holocaust, but perhaps, you know, as you mentioned, sometimes when a child sees something and the teacher asks them to write a note or a letter, I mean, they're very open. They're very transparent.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And that's something that we really try to push through our curriculum trunks, through our bookstore, are those letters or those diaries that children wrote during the Holocaust. Not just Anne Frank's, but many children were very very verbose in their writing because it was their one outlet. And so we try to show that to children that we educate as this is a wonderful medium to express yourself and to learn about other children and what they went through. And many kids that we see through our summer camp or through our kids' programs are very open about what they've experienced, what they've seen, even those who have been a bully, they are very open about that, and that makes it makes for very teachable moments.
Well, summer is behind us now, thank God that it's getting cooler. But tell us a little bit about the summer camps and what you did at those.
Well, this year we did our summer camp themed Everyday Heroes. This is our eighth year doing our summer camp, and it's geared toward 8 to 11-year-olds. And so our focus for those summer camps is to show that anybody can be a hero. Anybody can do the right thing. So we take stories of rescue, survivor stories from the Holocaust, and we use those to teach these bigger lessons of tolerance and acceptance. And it's our way of educating them about the Holocaust, but through a very positive lens. We use games and activities to do that as well. And hopefully they come away with education. They come away with a very positive message that they can do something.
Do you have programs geared towards adults?
Absolutely. Schedule? We do programming throughout the year. We have traveling exhibits that also are geared toward adults. We do a quarterly book club, which gives them an opportunity to discuss different Holocaust or genocide-related titles. Those are always monitored. Those are always moderated by a local community person. Then we do a remembrance ceremony called Yom HaShoah that is geared toward the whole community, and that's a way to remember the Holocaust. That's also an annual event. We do lectures and workshops and just a myriad of different programs, and it changes every year according to our programming theme, but we really try to reach all different aspects of the community.
The Shoah ceremony that you mentioned, that's in July or August, correct?
It's actually in April.
In April, okay, mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's no problem. It coincides with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. It's a national day of remembrance, and it's really commemorated all over the country by the military, by education facilities, by Holocaust museums. It's our way to honor the survivors, to remember the victims of the Holocaust.
As far as we mentioned earlier, social media and the fact that it seems to be that that's how people communicate with each other now. Whether you're engaged, getting married, you have a baby, whatever, I read it on Facebook. So tell us a little bit about how you're using social media to promote the Holocaust Museum and Study Center.
Well, our Facebook page is a great promoter of what we do. We have a very big Facebook presence now. Lots of different people find out about our events through Facebook. We even do events where they can sign up through our Facebook page because we have so many people where, as you said, that's how they learn their information. So that's a newer thing for us. It's only the last couple of years where we've created that Facebook page, and that has really taken off and been tremendous advertising for us. We don't do Twitter or anything like that, but we are talking about doing an Instagram page possibly this year to really promote that as well.
As the semester starts, the fall semester, you mentioned about speakers and tours. So if a school is interested, or perhaps a homeschool group of touring, taking a tour to the museum, what number do they need to call, and how far in advance do they need to do that?
Well, we recommend a week to 2 weeks advance notice to set up a guided tour, just to make sure they get the time and date that they would like. But they can just call the museum's general number, which is 915-351-0048. And they can ask for our volunteer coordinator, Angela Vaughn, and she will set up that tour for them. She will schedule a docent for them as well, so they get the best museum experience possible.
And what about if people are interested in volunteering or becoming a docent? Do you have training workshops for that as well?
Yes, absolutely. We do. Right now we have a docent training workshop, which is once a semester, and that's a several-hour class to get them oriented into the museum, to talk to them about what it means to be a docent, to get that commitment from them. And then it usually takes about a month or so of training to get them ready to give the tours. And then other volunteers can come in at different times and just do a one-on-one training with our volunteer coordinator.
And speaker series that you mentioned, going to schools, the same applies, I guess, where they call you guys and
yes.
then you schedule a speaker?
Yes, it's exactly the same. They can also do it online through our website. They have we have request forms online that they can fill out with the information of what they'd like, whether it's a speaker presentation, an education trunk, or a tour, and then we respond back to them right away.
And what is the website address?
It's ElPasoHolocaustMuseum.org.
Now, as far as getting people to go to the museum, there's the tours, as you mentioned. Is there a number? Do you have a cap as far as how many people you can handle?
In a tour, we can handle up to about 90 people. We split up those very large groups with several different docents, and we stagger them through the museum. Because a lot of our teachers have to bring very large numbers of students in order to get those field trips approved. So we try to accommodate as many as possible.
When you mentioned 90, I was surprised as well, because when you drive by, the building doesn't look that big, but I guess it's misleading.
It is a little bit misleading. It's not very large in square footage, but the layout is it's really excellently done, where we can put groups in multiple places and stagger those tours so they still get the full experience and they still end around the same time, but we're able to accommodate much larger groups.
We're visiting with Jamie Flotis. Jamie is the Program and Education Director for the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Studies Center. She's been talking about the museum in general, but also an exhibit called Remember Me, Children of the Holocaust, and that continues through October 9th. But as we discussed earlier, Jamie, you have an event going on tomorrow. If you wouldn't mind giving us that information again for our listeners.
Absolutely. Tomorrow is our 11th annual Tour de Tolerance. It's a 100K and 50K bike ride and a 5K competitive run, or a 5K fun walk. It's for anyone who's interested. It starts tomorrow. The first event goes off at 7 o'clock. That's the 100K. Then the next is at 7:45. That's the 5K run. And then 8:30 is our 50K bike ride. All takes place at Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino. Today is the last day to register. That is going on right now at El Paso Holocaust Museum. That's our packet pickup and our last day to register.
And they can register by going online or calling the number that you mentioned?
Well, our online registration is closed. Registration has to take place at the museum in person in order to get your packet, get your bib number, and all of that.
And give us the address of the museum again?
715 North Oregon.
Jamie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been visiting with Jamie Flotis. She is the Program and Education Director for the El Paso Holocaust Museum and Studies Center, and she's been discussing Remember Me, Children of the Holocaust exhibit, which goes on through October 9th. If you have additional questions about what Jamie was discussing, you can go to their Facebook page or call 351-0048.